Up next on the Young Escape Podcast.
You know, hey, this show's going to happen. Actually, it's not going to happen. And so there's a lot of just uncertainty, I think, with... Oh, that was a good one. God.
I'm sorry.
No, yes. That was fantastic.
I was panicking. And I accidentally let it all out like right then and there. I'm so sorry about that.
That was good.
Chaz.
Thank you.
What did you use? What were you drinking?
You know, I wasn't drinking anything, actually. I just actually, like, just tried to conjure it up with straight-up air.
Well, if your rap career never happens, you could just burp.
That's a good idea.
There's a lot on YouTube or something. Right.
I could start making apps, you know?
Chaz, why you cut him off?
I know, I'm so sorry. It was so good. I'm sorry. It just let it out. Like, I just had it there, you know?
No, I asked him to burp, so he had to do it.
Welcome. Greetings from the future.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Young Escape Podcast. So make some noise for your host, Chaz Michael Michaels.
Yes! Yes! Thank you! Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Young Escape Podcast. I am your host, Chaz, and today we had Joey Rotella on. And if you're curious on what it's like behind the scenes on the road, or what it's like to manage a tour, then you are going to love this podcast. Today, we talked with Joey about how we got into tour managing, and we also talked a little bit about how I, Chaz, broke some of the bus rules that were very important. Let's just say I had to take a Mondo Duke. We talked about what it's like behind the scenes tour managing for Jordan Feliz, and Joey and I had a burping contest. So make sure you guys stick around for all that good stuff. But first, I want to give a quick thanks to our sponsors, Nike, Adidas, Google, Gatorade, and Oreos. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast and doing what you do. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Alrighty, everybody, McKenna. Introduce who we have today.
All right, Chaz. Okay, today on the Young Escape Podcast, we have our good friend, Joey Rotella.
Whoa!
What's up, Joey? Joey is an amazing tour manager for Jordan Feliz. He's also an extremely talented musician. He plays bass, and he's one of the kindest people we've met in our industry. And so we're so happy to have him on because he's really been cheering us on for a while now, and we've always had super fun times with him and Jordan's crew on the road. And yeah, Joey, thank you so much for taking the time to come on today. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. That was a very kind introduction.
Oh yeah, well, it's all true. We've had so many fun times with you on the road. We should hop right into that, like how we met.
Right. Yes.
Because we met, I want to say it was on like a weekend bus trip that we took. It wasn't like an official tour, but
yeah,
we hopped on the bus with you guys.
Yeah, we were on the, it was in the northwest.
Right.
And we were doing like two shows, and I remember the promoter was like, "Hey, we're going to take care of the bus for you, but we're going to put this band on with you. They're like brand new, and you know, they're opening the shows, and so we'll put you on the bus, but you have to be with this opening band." And we're like,
"Oh no."
No, we were like, "Cool, whatever, you know, like let's meet them." And so I remember you guys getting on, and we gave you guys the bus rules. Like,
yeah,
the two number one rules are sleep with your head towards the back and don't poop on the bus.
Right.
And we have
Chaz,
a story about
there.
That second.
Yeah, Chaz was there.
Right.
So
I was on the bus just for like a day.
We'd never been on a bus. So you guys really were the first ones to tell us bus rules and what that was all about. And so Chaz, I don't think, maybe were you on your phone or something when he was going through
because I'll start with when I first, you know, saw Joey. I remember I walked in because you guys were playing a show, right?
Yeah, right.
It was like in this arena type looking place, and I go into one of the green rooms and I see Joey knocking out push-ups.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Whoa, look at this guy." And I was like, "Hey, what's your name?" You know, we introduced, you know, and he's,
yeah,
you know, I talked about the podcast
right.
a little bit. Because was that a little before we started the podcast?
I think it was.
Right. So we were just getting started then.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, so I saw him knocking out push-ups, and I was like, "We got to have this guy on someday." You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Right.
I love your recollection of that, man.
Yeah, you know, I remember. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Like,
you know?
That was like, what, 3 years ago?
Right, yeah, it was
but
a long
yeah,
time
I mean,
ago.
Joey, and then we all get on the bus after the show, and Joey's going through the bus rules, and those were really the only two, and I think you were on your phone. I think you might have been scrolling through Instagram. You weren't paying attention.
Late that night, I woke up in the middle of the night.
It was like 3 a.m.
Yeah, and I was like, I need to take a Mondo Duke, you know? I was like, I need to go, you know?
No.
And I guess it flew over my head.
And everyone knew, like, everyone woke up and everyone was really upset.
Right, yes.
And it was...
The bus smelled for the...
Right.
The whole entire time after that, it smelled absolutely awful.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And again, Joey, remember when our bus driver pooped on the bus?
We didn't find out about that till you left. Till we left. You told us that story.
Yeah.
But
that was a pretty... Yeah, that was a rough time on the bus between the bus driver and you, Chaz.
Well, you know,
you basically ruined the entire trip.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I, of course, I heard that multiple times, you know, that I ruined the whole thing. But, you know, whatever. You know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
I had to go.
Move on.
And I did it.
Okay. Well, now you know. Now you know. You tend to learn things the hard way. But with all that being said, Joey, what was your first impression of our band and of Chaz, of course?
I remember we were in Idaho. I remember being in that arena and I was trying to figure out who it was that we were going to be sharing with. And I look over and it looked like there was this Adidas ad just like standing there. Like y'all had NMDs.
We were decked out.
It was great. I remember, everybody had sound checks and you guys were down to like 15 minutes and they kind of just said, you know, go up there, do your thing. And the audio was like
that was a rough one.
Good at all. But
oh boy,
like we remember hearing your songs and we were like, man, those guys are actually really good. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't know what to expect. I don't even know if there was music up at the time when we saw you guys. And so we went in completely blind. And afterwards we were like, wow, they're really good. Like we could hear the potential, even though like the audio was... The mix was awful.
And that's crazy that you guys were able to hear that. Yeah, because the mix was terrible that day.
Well, and it just, like, I remember thinking that your music was, like, so modern compared to... I mean, not to say that our entire industry is like this, but we have a tendency to do a lot of cut and paste. Like, you hear, and it's always a little behind. And so I remember hearing you guys and going, this sounds, like, relevant.
And that's very kind.
So I just remember hearing that. And then we had that day off where we had a show and y'all were out with us, but you didn't play that show.
Mm.
And so I remember sitting down with Q, who you all know, and Q's the best.
Absolutely.
We were sitting with him and I remember being like, dude, we got to do something to help them out. Like, you know, obviously like we didn't have to, but we were like, this would just be really cool. I think, you know, they're super kind and talented and we should try to help them as much as we can. And he was like, dude, I was already thinking about doing it. And so, I remember that we had, I know Q mixed for you guys. I know Kyle jumped in and was like
stage managing.
And we were just trying to like make sure that you guys were taken care of for that one. And, you know, I think that kind of built the relationship for our two teams for sure.
And it was so much fun. Yeah. Cause it made cause we got to tour again together. But I remember that day at that festival, it was really run and gun. I mean, no sound check. And I remember even like we were having so many technical difficulties and Q was working it out. And then you guys, I remember the MC came up and she was getting ready to announce and Kyle was like, no, not yet. Like we're still sound checking. So that's amazing. Guys had our back and it was just really cool to see you guys. That was really one of the first experiences that we had because those were like some of the biggest shows that we had ever played. That was like the first. And I remember just being in awe, just the way that you guys took us under your wing, really taught us how to do stuff, and it was just really, we were so grateful for that.
Right. Yeah, and I don't want to like you know, because I haven't told you guys this yet.
Oh.
But you know, so you mentioned terrible sound on the first show.
Yeah.
I feel guilty to say I had part in that.
What?
Well, so there was somebody mixing you guys, right? And I didn't know who it was, and I I was not impressed, so I decided I need to get back there and I need to run the controls so we can have some great sound here. Yeah, then I you know, he agreed and I took, you know, I got on there and the piano wasn't working. You know, you started playing the piano.
Yeah.
And it wasn't on. And I was like, how do I get this thing on, you know?
That's interesting because you had Luke so loud.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I just wanted to hear those drums, you know? I just wanted to hear the drums because they're so
terrible.
Good. Yeah, but I agree. I think I should have boosted your vocal a little bit more. But
that explains so much.
At least we have clarity, you know? So yeah. I just wanted to put
Thanks
that
out. Thanks for telling us that 3 years later.
No problem.
That was very nice of you.
But the mystery's solved now.
That's right. The there you go. Solved. You're welcome.
Well, Joey, we met you 3 years ago, but how did you get into the music industry and playing bass and tour managing?
Oh, man. I'm old, so it goes back a little bit. I started playing like guitar and bass and stuff when I was really young. I think I started playing bass when I was like 13, which is, I was doing the math. That's 20 years ago. That makes me feel super old. But
20 years is nothing.
But I'm like, okay, so I'm like another Luke older than Luke. like that's how I look at it. That's how I feel.
Oh my gosh.
But no, I started playing bass and then, you know, kind of played with friends and stuff. And I joined a band in high school. And so we kind of, you know, did shows and made songs that weren't great and all that stuff. And then like 2007, we met Jordan and he actually started singing for our band. So that was that was my first connection with Jordan was back then. He was 17 at the time. And so we did that for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And that was kind of when I started doing all of the, like, I helped with the booking and like logistics. And that was back when you had to get to shows using MapQuest and so you had to print out the directions and do all that. And
man.
So just doing like that, and I did like some of the finances and like figured out how we were going to get paid from shows and stuff like that. And so that kind of like got me my first taste into what I didn't know that was what tour managers did, but at the time, like, excuse me, that was kind of what like kind of got me into it. And so we did that for, oh gosh, like I said, 4 or 5 years. And then I think we all left the band in 2011 and Jordan ended up doing his own thing and we all know how that turned out.
Right.
I started like during that time, I started helping other bands too. Like kind of, I knew I liked tour managing stuff and I was kind of dabbling in like, I wonder what managers do. And so I got really into that sort of like, I don't know. I just love that stuff. Ended up going back to school and then went to like, you guys know where MI is in California? Like Musicians Institute?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Y'all are California people. So
we are California people, yeah.
So we moved to LA and I went to MI.
Okay.
And then I like interned at a label down there, started working for a licensing company. And then I got hit up by some friends that were starting a company that ended up being Soundstripe, which is a company here in Nashville. And so I worked in licensing for a little bit with them and then, started doing finance stuff. And so I was kind of working on like the finance side of the music industry. And I was still living in LA and they were launching in Nashville. So my wife and I moved, to Nashville in 2015. And then Jordan called me a little bit after we got there and I was still helping launch Soundstripe and he's like, dude, I need a tour manager. Like we've toured together. I know you can do all this stuff. And so I kind of just, it was kind of just reliving all the stuff that I had done when we were in the band together.
Wow.
Just kind of at a bigger level, you know, I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but, I was like, oh, I could do this. And the first year was a rude awakening for me, but, so, and then eventually, last year I left Soundstripe and started working for, Altitude Management, which is Adam's management company, Jordan's manager. So now I'm just doing like helping with the artist management stuff and, tour managing. And it's awesome. I played bass in there a little bit with Jordan too.
You did.
Right. But I don't do that anymore. We got a much better bass player than me now, but for a while it was hard to justify having someone out there just to tour manage. And so I was playing bass and doing all the like road managing, tour managing stuff too.
That's a hard, tour managing is hard. Like, it's no joke. So it takes like a really strong person to do that. Cause yeah, you have to deal with so many, nothing is routine. It's just all unknowns that you have to just deal with that come at you.
Well, and I remember the story that I always tell people of like what it's like to do both was, I remember it was at the Padres stadium in San Diego, and the truck driver decided that he wanted to come back to the venue early. And so we were on stage and I felt my phone go off and Jordan was talking between songs and I ran off stage and called the truck driver an Uber and then ran back up on stage when I was supposed to come in. And nobody else knows the difference. But for me, I'm like, okay, I've got literally 30 seconds to do all this before I'm supposed to be playing. And so I was just kind of running around up there, but it was kind of a
legend. That's crazy.
I'm just a workaholic, I think. That's more what it is.
No, but you do it well. And what is it like? What's it like behind the scenes? Because a lot of people, you know, they see what happens at shows every night. They come at 7 o'clock and like, you know what I mean? It's that thing for them. But I mean, for you, it's like an all day thing. So like, what's it like behind the scenes tour managing Jordan Feliz? And what was it like being on tour with us? Because I know you tour managed a tour that we were on too. So like, what is it like behind the scenes?
So, I mean, a lot of what I do is actually... like a lot of the work goes into it like a month or two or even sometimes longer before the show even happens.
Right.
So like by the time the show comes in, you know, I'm usually talking to the promoter. You kind of hit them up about, you know, 2 months out, and then a month out or so you start really going over the details of like, okay, this is wow, I just burped.
Chaz does it all the time.
Side note, I'm drinking Diet Dr. Pepper and cream soda. It's this combo that is absolutely amazing, but I've been drinking a ton of it and sometimes you gotta burp.
I love cream soda.
Chaz, you burp really. You should give him a sample burp right now.
It would be kind of hard to conjure. I could try. You guys keep going. Give me a minute.
Okay, we'll give you a second.
Okay. Just drink some Dr. Pepper and cream soda.
Right.
And then get a good one for me.
All right. Yeah, I will. I will try my best.
But no, it's a lot of just, there's a lot of work on the front end before the show even starts to just go over like what the schedule is. Like, this is what kind of, you know, we're bringing a bus and a trailer or a truck or whatever. And, this, you know, we need runners, we need volunteers. This is, you know, all that stuff is done way in advance. And so by the time we actually get to the day of the show, it's kind of just going, hey, I'm the guy you've been talking to for, you know, a month or two, and let's walk through and make sure that everything we talked about is right.
Right.
And then everyone kind of goes about their day, and, you know, it's a long day. I mean, even for, you know, for artists and everybody, you're getting in it sometimes, you know, you're up at 8 o'clock in the morning and then everything's torn down by like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and you do it all over again. And so there's so much that goes into it. And, but a lot of that stuff just happens, you know, beforehand, and then we get there and just make sure, hey, let's make sure I did my job well.
you do your job so well. And I know that there's like, even, well, for you right now, it's gotta be hard because you're a tour manager and so you're off the road, obviously, but in quarantine, like, what are you doing to stay creative? Like, are you still like advancing shows right now? Like, what's your process?
So we're kind of in a holding pattern. Like there's summer festivals and some tour dates and stuff that haven't canceled yet. And so we're trying to, like, I have to treat them like they're happening until they're not.
Right.
And so I've already had conversations with people that, you know, I'm like, hey, this is what's going to happen if the show happens. But if the show doesn't happen, forget we even had this conversation and it was a waste of our time. But, you know, if it does happen, here's how it's going to go. And so we're kind of having to just like, you know, I'm getting buses and then telling them, hey, actually I lied, we don't need the bus anymore. You know, hey, this show's going to happen, actually it's not going to happen. And so there's a lot of just uncertainty, I think, with, that was a good one.
I'm sorry.
No, yes. That was fantastic.
I'm sorry. I was panicking. I accidentally let it all out like right then and there. I'm so sorry about that.
That was good.
Chaz.
Thank you.
What did you use? What were you drinking?
You know, I wasn't drinking anything, actually. I just actually, like, just tried to conjure it up with straight up air.
Well, if your rap career never happens, you could just burp.
That's a good idea. There's a
put it on YouTube or something.
I could start making apps, you know.
Chaz, why you cut him off?
I know. I'm so sorry. It was so good. I'm sorry. It just let it out. Like I just had it there, you know.
No, I asked him to burp, so he had to do it.
Continue. I'm so sorry. Where were we?
Oh, man, I'm pretty sure you just ruined the entire podcast.
Yeah, you always say that. I just ruined everything, don't I?
It was my fault. I burped first. That was totally by accident. I just happened to take a drink and burped, and
I had to deliver.
Oh man,
it was good. I was proud of that one.
Thank you very much.
Round of applause, Chaz. But you're talking about quarantine, Joey.
Yeah,
you're managing all that.
Well, I think, I mean, y'all are probably feeling the same way. Like, I know you guys had tour dates that got postponed or canceled or whatever. So there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty for everybody right now. I mean, I like, you know, I feel like our industry is going to be one of the, probably the last ones to come back. And so, I mean, I hope that's sooner rather than later. I hope I'm wrong. But at the same time, like, I'm trying to be optimistic while also planning for the worst,
right.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
So who knows, but we're trying to operate as normal and trying to come up with things to do to still get out there and stuff like that. But
right.
You know, it's, what are y'all doing? Like, I mean, obviously I've seen you guys posting covers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like,
it's been crazy. 'Cause you know, it's hard even for us because we've, it's even been hard with music. Like, even for us being able to release music, it's been a long time. And so we've been working on a record, but it's hard to, like, we had a tour with Danny Gokey that we were going to be on. And so when that got canceled, it's like, man, what is there that's new to talk about? 'Cause you constantly have to have something new to talk about. And, so we decided to like do some covers. We've been filming covers and, connecting with our fans through like this Discord community. And it's honestly been a really great time for us to kind of refocus our vision and what we want to do for the remainder of 2020 with our music.
Yeah.
And we've written songs that I don't know if we would have written had this time not come up. And so, yeah, you're right. It's been, I think that it's so terrible for musicians who especially like they make their living on the road and it's like all of a sudden like that's just gone. And so you have to like scramble and figure out what to do because that's like a rough position to be in.
Yeah.
And so we feel you. Yeah.
Well, and the longer this goes on, the longer it's going to take for us to get back on the road together. So that's,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to do another one.
We're ready to do another
can
one.
Can I come?
No.
Chaz, I don't know. I'm still a little salty about you pooping on the bus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
hey, at least you know now, Chaz. I mean, we should do another. We have to have
Because I'm like, you guys know. I'm an aspiring rapper, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is hard for me, too, because, like, that's why, you know, I'm a struggling rapper. I play in clubs, you know, with a bunch of people. And
do you need a tour manager?
Well, okay, that's what I was going to go into. So, listen. So, obviously, you know, when you're a struggling rapper, you have to deal with the everyday stuff, right?
Right.
On the road. And let me tell you, it gets pretty tough, you know? And, but the problem is I can't afford somebody like Joey, because Joey's such like a, you know, he's such a high level tour manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Joey, what I'm trying to say is, do you have any advice for me? Like, because I have to tour manage myself, basically, right? And one time I had a guy.
You probably do a terrible job at that.
Well, hang on a minute. So, but one time I had this guy come up to me and he just started straight up yelling at me for no reason.
Oh, right.
And I was like, wait, what's going on here? You know, and I was trying to figure out what was going on, and then he eventually ended up throwing a right hook.
Oh!
And so I parried and countered, and so but you know we got into a little scramble. It doesn't matter. But how do you deal with like that kind of stuff? Or just, you know, any advice for me as I'm doing this?
I've never had anybody throw a right hook at me.
Oh, okay.
So I can't give you advice there. I have been yelled at.
Right. Okay.
You probably had to deal with some weird people, Joey.
So how do you deal with that?
So I will say this: I've actually gotten very lucky that I don't deal with a lot of crazy people. I know they're out there. I've just not had to deal with them, or maybe I've just gotten used to it and just assume the crazy ones are normal now. but no, I mean, there's always people that are really difficult to work with. I know. Like y'all can probably attest to this, that it's probably happened more than once where you show up somewhere and they go, well, that's not the way we did it with this other artist.
Exactly.
What? And so they operate as if everybody is the same and it's just a repeat of whatever they've done before. And so, like, just going in and being like, yeah, I know that's the way they did it. That's not how we do it. And right. Those conversations sometimes kind of get a little tricky, but, I think with a tour manager specifically, like, it's an interesting thing because a lot of times, like Chaz, you can't afford to have, you know, you're on such a small budget. You can't afford to like bring somebody out just for that job.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
And I know, like, for me, like, I've done merch while tour managing. I've played bass while tour managing. I've done all three at the same time. Right. Like, there, you kind of have to, if you want to get into tour managing, like, usually you're going to have to do other jobs too to kind of make it worth their time, because right, especially on a smaller end, you don't need somebody or you can't afford to bring somebody out or whatever. And so being able to, I mean, I think with music in general, like, being versatile early, like being able to do multiple things and kind of show that you're a hard worker and, you know, if you have to tour manage yourself for a little bit, then that's what you got to do. But, you know, usually you kind of have to be the guy that does all the other work that nobody wants to do just so that, like, right. You can kind of get in there and get the experience and do all that stuff. But it can be a very long and tiring and sometimes, you know, thankless job. Like, a lot of people don't see all the work that happens on the end, so you kind of have to be good with just being like, hey, I did a good job today, and that's, you know, that's where it's at. And so but yeah, until then, just do, you know, get somebody to do merch for you and maybe they can be your DJ, and then
there you go.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, like, you would say, like, so if somebody's yelling at you, right, is it better to kind of de-escalate the situation or to fire back, like, no, you know, like,
Chaz,
no, Johnny,
Chaz,
like,
Chaz,
like, you know what I mean? Like,
mic.
I didn't have to do that song at the end. I could have just left.
Chaz.
But I didn't have to. I could have left.
Chaz.
So this is why you're not
successful.
Yeah, but is it better to yell like that? That's what I did.
If you yell like that, I wouldn't do it.
Right. Okay. Okay. So it's better to de-escalate the situation. Try to
exactly.
I gotcha. All right.
It depends who you ask, though. I know I've known tour managers in the past who do the opposite. So
okay.
I like to de-escalate, but some may disagree with me.
Okay. Well,
hey,
good. I'm gonna
try
de-escalating.
I feel like
time.
De-escalating it takes a bigger person to do that.
Well,
it's harder to do that
I'll
than to
that.
Escalate something. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Right.
I'll give it a shot.
I mean, y'all know me. This is probably the most I've talked in like a year. You know what I mean? So
super chill.
I tend to not get into big confrontations with people because I'm like, I don't have the energy to talk to people.
You must,
like,
love us a lot, Joey, to come on.
You know, I do. That's why I got on. Just because I love y'all.
We love you, Joey. Hey, do you have any? Okay, because speaking of all this stuff, we have like a ton of young listeners out there, and so do you have any encouragement or advice, anything that you would like to share? Because maybe there's young people out there who want to get into tour managing or getting on the road, and they just don't know where to start.
Man, I'm gonna sound old saying this, but, like, to me, like, hard work is probably the number one thing. Like work your butt off.
Right.
Like, I nothing replaces, like, working hard.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of times, especially, like, I mean, even artists now, like, a while ago, but especially now, I feel like with YouTube and all that stuff, like, it's a place for everybody, like, to get your music out there and stuff. But I right. also feel like people expect to just go viral or have some sort of instant success that lets them skip the hard work part.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not, like, long-term at all. I think you're kind of a flash in the pan, and you get your success, and then somebody else is going to do the same thing. Mm. And if you didn't lay the groundwork to, like, really build something, work hard and get good at your craft and, you know, that sort of thing, like, it's going to be there and then it's going to be gone as quickly as it was there. And I like what you guys do too, because I mean, y'all are still hustling. You know what I mean? Like you've always worked really hard, and you know, when you toured with us, you were in a van and trailer, and you know, we've done that for, I did that for 4 years, and then we did that with Jordan after that. And I think like you learn how to do it without like the cushy stuff. And so that way when you start getting opportunities to be on a bus, or you start, you know, playing these bigger shows and all these things, you're kind of like, okay, I know what I did to like get to this point. And if we ever had to go back for anything, like, you know, even with this whole thing and quarantine and like, you know, whether or not shows are going to come back, like, I think a lot of people are going to have to figure out new ways to tour. And
so
being able to go back and go, okay, like, I've done this before, I can get back in a van and trailer and work and hustle and not get a lot of sleep. And like, I think people miss all the work that it takes to get to that point.
Yeah. Cause it's like, it's a journey.
It really is. Like, how long have y'all been going?
We've been going, honestly, it's been like 7 years now, because we grew up in Riverside, California. And so we were pretty isolated down there. You know, touring's a lot easier from Nashville, but we would just hop in the 15 passenger van. Ryan would call like 300 churches, and we'd get like one response. And this is like when we were like, hey, we'll play for free, like, just let us know. And you know, we'd get one response and we'd go drive up the coast, and we'd be driving.
Luke was like a little guy, huh?
Luke was a little guy. But no, I think that you're right though, because it takes I feel like you have to develop grit to be on the road, because it is it's not an easy thing. I think a lot of people look at it as like a rock star kind of life, where it's like, it's really like, ooh, like everything's super nice and like royal in a way, but it's really hard. And you have to have grit, and you have to have motivation, and you have to go through the hard things in order to appreciate the bigger things and being on a bus and doing all that. And so the majority of the shows that we just played, even after, because we did that spring tour with you guys, we were in the van for the rest of the year. And so we've been vanning it for a while, but yeah, anytime we get to be on a bus, it's just like, oh, this is so nice and easy. Like,
well, and you appreciate it so much more, like,
yeah,
being able to just go, I get some sleep. If you have a good driver, you're like, I can get some sleep.
Right. But
otherwise, you know, then there's still other problems that come up, even like when you get through the hard work stuff and you get to where, you know, you're in a bus or whatever, you're still dealing with so many other things. They're just different types of problems.
True. Yeah.
And so, I mean, being able to just get used to the hard work and the grind, and like you said, the climb is the fun part.
Yeah.
Like being able to see what you're doing actually have some sort of success, and like see the hard work paying off. You're like, I did that and I know I can do it again, rather than just being like, oh, I just got here out of nowhere and I don't know how to function now.
No,
you know?
Yeah, that's so true. I think too, like, even we've noticed that, like, as a family, especially being in the van, and I know that you guys get this too, because you were there, but I think that God does the most powerful work when it feels like you kind of are down to nothing and from ground zero, and kind of just the process that he does in your heart when you do have to like be on that constant climb, and sometimes it feels like you can't catch a break, but it
100%.
Ends up making you like such a better artist and a better person, and better songs come out of it and better stories come out of it. And I know you probably know this, but I mean, we have like some crazy funny stories that come out of the van.
Oh yeah.
That wouldn't necessarily be on the bus, but then there's different things like about the bus too. Like, I mean, I think that those conversations we would have with you guys till like 3 a.m. about just the coolest things. Like, it was just, I think that God is just in the entire journey, and you just have to stick it out either way.
Oh yeah. And I to me, I mean, you know, obviously we're in the Christian music industry, and so there's an added like spiritual side to that as well. And it, like, I think for me, like, having the community that like lifts each other up. And I don't know if y'all have met Jordan's drummer Neiman yet.
But
since he's come on, like, he is such a spiritual leader, like, in our group, like, beyond anything that I've seen. He'll tell you otherwise, but that his his kind of leadership in that area has been super cool. And, and I've seen a lot of progress in us coming together as a team, and just because of how he leads in that. And I think it's super important to, like, you know, especially if, like, in your band or you have a, you're a solo artist and you have a crew or whatever, like, being able to all come together and get on the same page, and, you know, whether it's mentally, spiritually, like in work, you know, just being able to all be on the same page is super huge. And so I think having that community and building your community as you get bigger, I think is super important.
That's amazing. No, I love that. That makes me so happy for you guys too. I love that. That's amazing. Well, Joey,
it's a fun group.
Yes, it is a fun group. We have to tour again, like ASAP. Mm-hmm. This is over.
Take me with you.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Chaz, we'll put you in the trailer.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm all right with that. I'm used to grinding.
You're used to grinding. Yeah. Well, hey guys, if you want to know more about Joey, you can follow him on Instagram, and we are going to link his Instagram account in the description, in the podcast description.
Absolutely.
And maybe you'll see him on the road with Jordan Felice. He's amazing. You got to check out, go follow Jordan too. Be on the lookout for their tour schedule and what they're up to. And Joey, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. We love you, and you're an amazing friend, and we're just so grateful for all that we've learned from you. And yeah, thank you so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you guys for having me. This has been fun.
Amazing. Well, Joey, thank you. Should I just end this with a burp, like as loud as I could go?
Sure.
I think you should. I actually held another one in. I was still drinking the Dr. Pepper, and I started to, and I was like, I can't do this again. I've already done it once. So if you do it, I think it's okay.
Okay. Here we go. Ready?
Okay.